Okay. My name is Sarah, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. I come from Nashville, Tennessee. And actually, I want to tell you how I got here from there. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, but at some point in time in my recovery, I started going to Vision for You. And then I asked Jody E., who's a part of the Monterey Inner Group, to become my sponsor. And she was my big book sponsor through Vision for You. And then after we finished all of that, we stayed in contact for a little bit and then we lost contact. Some time after that, maybe 2 or 3 years after that, at Christmas time, I just texted her, wished her a happy, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and wanted to know how she was doing. And she texted me back and said a few things. And then she said, "I am going to this marvelous meeting. We're similar to Vision for You on Thursday nights at 5:30 Pacific time. So would you like to join us?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll come." So I came and I've been coming ever since. And I can't remember how many years that is, but that's how I happened to be on this meeting, on the meeting on Thursday night. And they asked me, the Thursday night meeting asked me at some, not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, if I would be the inner group rep for their meeting. So I'm doing that. So that's just to introduce a little bit of, where I'm coming from. My story starts out as a compulsive eater. I was a food addict. I snuck food. One story I love to tell is we would get every Christmas, we would get this big box of chocolates. And so mother would put it in the kitchen. So it was there when she was there and nobody could get it. And then, if we asked, we could get a piece. Well, okay, so that one Christmas though, she forgot and she put it in the living room. And I went to get a piece and nobody was around. So I took a piece and I kept coming back for more and more and more. And before I knew it, that whole top layer was gone and it was all me. I mean, I was the one that ate it all. And so, I was getting the last piece on that layer. And my mother started to come in and I scuttled off into another room. I didn't want her to see me. But I could hear her. And when she opened the box and she said, "Oh my goodness, who has eaten all this top layer?" It's like the bears coming in and saying, "Who's eaten my porridge?" And I just got out of there. I never confessed. I don't think she ever found out that I did it. She certainly didn't say anything to me. So that's one of my stories of, taking food, more food than I should have taken. Another thing happened to me that my father was a pediatrician, and he put me on skim milk because I was pretty pudgy when I was a kid, little one. And he called it my Sarah's milk because he didn't want anybody, he didn't want me to be averse to drinking it. So it was Sarah's milk. So I, because I love my dad so much, I drank the stuff. I don't remember whether I liked it or not, but I did drink it. So there was that first early part was when I was overeating and I was sneaking. The second part began in college. And my college roommate and I were real simpatico. We got together, we got along really well. And after junior year, she came back. I mean, after sophomore year, she came back for junior year. And she told me that she had found a way that we could eat whatever we wanted to and not gain an ounce. And we had been going to, there was an ice cream parlor down the way, down the street from where the school was. So we'd been going there, and I said, "I don't believe that. How do you do that?" And so she explained to me what I know now to be the binge and purge syndrome. And I took that little nugget, put it in my head, but I didn't act on it immediately. It took me several years before I began to act on it. So in my late 20s, I became bulimic in the sense that I was a binger and purger, and continued that for many years. I came into OA in, when was it, 1988? And I got there through a church group, the church, it was a Wednesday night session, and the whole thing was all about spirituality and recovery through the 12 steps. And there were a couple of women that came in to talk about AA and recovery. And excuse me, one day they brought a little play. I know there's another word for it, but I can't think of it. But a play, and every person's part was written out. And I took the part of one of the siblings of the alcoholic that was being, we brought that person in and we were telling him different things. And I, my part, as I was reading it, I started to sob, and I had no earthly idea what caused that. But they were going to have a codependency group after this. And I said, I want to join. And a whole bunch of us were in that. And that was where I first declared that I was a bulimic, binger, and purger. I'd never talked about it before. And there was somebody in that group that was in OA at the time. She took me aside after that particular meeting, told me about OA a little bit. I knew about 12 steps because my husband had been in AA for a short time. And I went to Al-Anon for a short time and said, so she said, would you like to come to OA with me? And I said, sure, I'll come. So I went, and it was an hour. And that particular meeting was an hour and a half. There was a speaker there, a guy. And I thought, well, I'm not going to have anything in common with this fella. And the first words out of his mouth was he was whoever, and he was a bulimic. And I thought, oh my God, am I ever wrong? I did hear his story. I went to meetings for 2 years, but in my head, the thing that I had decided was that I was just going to go to meetings to get some tips because of course, you know, I could do this on myself. I was self-sufficient. I was strong. You know, I didn't need help except for a few tidbits. And so I did that for 2 years. I got what I thought I needed to get, and I went back out. And of course, you all know what happened. I went back out, and I didn't have the group to support me. And I started binging and purging again. And through that period of time, I had married an alcoholic. He had quit drinking for a short period of time. He went back to drinking, and we got a divorce. I told him, I said, I've been through this for 15 plus years. I do not want to go through it again. And so we got a divorce, and I was, you know, I always tell this story too, which is kind of funny. I always, when we were married, pointed to him as the problem. He was the problem. His drinking was the problem. But then when he got divorced, he wasn't able to pay for the house. So he left and went else. I mean, he was in the Nashville area, but he went to live somewhere else. And it was just me, and nothing changed. So I guess I was part of the problem too, but it was hard for me to admit that. Moving forward, I had to admit it because nobody else was here. So I laugh at that today because, you know, here I thought it was all him. And of course it was me as well because of my binging and purging. So I went on to 1997, which is I had started using laxatives instead of throwing up. And don't tell this to gross anybody out, although it is kind of gross, you know. But using laxatives it worked, but then I began to have to use more and more and more, just like an alcoholic has to drink more and more and more to get the same effect. Same with me with the laxatives. And one day I overdosed and I didn't make it to the toilet in time. And I was so full of shame and regret and all of those negative feelings. And I thought to myself, I need to do something. And so I knew that the newcomers meeting was on Saturday. I knew the location. I knew where to go back. And so that's what I did. I went back to the newcomers meeting. And I sat there, you know, I came in, I think with my tail between my legs, I don't have a tail, but you know, like a dog. And, oh my gosh, I mean, you know, it was horrible. I felt so miserable. And somebody that I had known the first time around came up to me later and said something to me. And I said, you know, I don't know, but I did ask somebody else to be my sponsor. And the reason that I asked her was, I don't know if this is generally OA's procedure, but we had a list that we sent around the room and you could write down your name and your phone number, your email address, and whether you would, you know, whether you would sponsor or you need a sponsor. So I wrote down, I did all that, but I looked at the list and there was a person on that list that had written down that she would sponsor. And then next to that, she put bulimics. So I thought I need to find her in the room and ask her if she'd be my sponsor. So she did speak up and I did find her in the room. And after the meeting, I went and asked her if she would be my sponsor. And she said she would. And this is February 1997. So I got a sponsor. And she told me that what she wanted me to do was to call her twice a day. I was willing to do anything. Call her twice a day. And work the steps with her through the Bing Book. I said, okay. But here's the deal. She did not say one iota about food. So that first year from February 1997 February to January 1998, I white knuckled my food. And then I got into a step study in probably October of 1997. And we had made a pact with each other that if we lost our abstinence, we'd come back to the group. We discuss it with the group and, you know, just let them know. And so, excuse me, I went on a holiday during the Christmas holidays to Hawaii, did all right on the trip, but I came back and immediately lost my abstinence. And so I had to go back to the group and tell them what had happened. And I did it, not willingly, but very reluctantly, but I did it. And every one of them said, oh, Sarah, please keep coming back. We need you. We want you. We love you. And oh my God, that was a major turning point for me that they would say that kind of stuff. Because my family of origin would have never ever said something like that to me. They would have wagged their fingers at me and, you know, I don't know what they would have said, but certainly not so loving. And so my first, you know, when I did a step two, my first higher power was that step study group. And then I began to widen it a little bit and it was the OA group. At some point in time, and I don't remember when that was exactly, I didn't focus on the Big Book when I read it with my first sponsor, but somewhere along the way after that, I remember hearing the ABCs in chapter 5. And one, I think it was the B part says, no human power could have relieved my alcoholism or our alcoholism. And I translate it to my compulsive eating, binging, and purging. And so I began to look at a higher power as a spiritual entity. Now, I want to backtrack a little bit. that first sponsor that I had her for a couple of years. And at the end of that period of time, she came up to me, or maybe she, when we were talking, she told me that she was leaving Nashville and that she wanted to see me, talk to me before she left. And she suggested a meeting that we could both attend and then we could talk afterwards. So we did that. And here are two things she told me that I could not believe. First of all, she told me that that when I asked her to sponsor me, when I asked her to sponsor me, she was not abstinent. And through my persistence and my continually calling her and doing the steps, she got abstinent. So it kind of shows me that this is a, you know, we're partners in this. Sponsor, sponsee, it doesn't really matter. We had the same day of abstinence. And the other thing was she gave me a 1-year medallion. And she said, I'm giving this to you as a remembrance of, you know, what we are to each other and what this program means to each of us. And so that was awesome for me. And I took that and she said, pass it on if you get a chance. So I took that coin and I did pass it on to somebody else who could use it. So that was how that first sponsor impacted me. All right. So forward somewhat, I was in OA. And I, you know, after a year and a half or so, that first sponsor said to me, well, I think you're ready to sponsor yourself. And I said, I don't think so. She said, well, you've done the 12 steps, put your name out there. Well, I put my name out there, but I was not talking much. And I didn't feel like I had much to offer. So people didn't ask me to sponsor them. It took me maybe 4 years before I began to have more courage to speak up and talk about my recovery. And then people did ask me to sponsor them. And here was another strange fact, right? So people asked me to sponsor them. So I took them on. And so many of them, I'd say 90% of them, would not call me back. And I finally had to ask somebody who'd been around for a long time. I said, what am I not doing? What am I doing wrong? And she said, Sarah, it's not about you. It's about them. It has solely to do with their willingness, what they want out of the relationship. And if they're just doing it because they think they have to do it, and then when they come right down to it and it scares them, they're not going to call you. But it really doesn't have to do anything to do with you. And later on, I've heard that the worst sponsor, if somebody wants to get recovery, the worst sponsor can help them get recovery. If somebody doesn't want to get recovery, the best sponsor is not going to be able to get them to get recovery. So the sponsor is a guide. Sponsor does help, but it's the higher power. It's the program. It's the steps that are really the road to recovery. So I began to sponsor and have sponsored ever since. And sponsorship has been a really powerful tool for me. I have learned a lot through sponsorship. First of all, one of my reluctances was that I thought I had to have all the answers. And of course, I know that I don't today. And I had a person who got pregnant in her during our relationship. And here I am not having been pregnant ever myself. And I learned that I didn't have to tell her anything because I didn't know anything. But I did tell her to call this person or that person who had been pregnant through getting recovery. So that was very helpful. And that was another something that I learned along the way. So I want to get, I don't have a whole lot of time left. It doesn't look like, nope. But I have about 5 more minutes that I can take, so I'll take a few more minutes. I am going to talk a little bit about the service that I've done, because service has been very helpful for me. And of course, sponsorship is a type of service, but I'm talking about service to the greater OA. So I started out being a group rep to my inner group, which is Middle Tennessee Inner Group, and doing that for a good long time. Well, actually, I started out being a secondary key person as my first form of service, just a really small kind of service. And I realized too, people have said this before, you're sitting this in this meeting, we're being serviced, we're in service to each other as we sit in this meeting. Chairing the meeting like Anne's doing is service. Helping to clear the, I mean, get the rooms organized is service. So there are lots of forms of service, but what I'll talk about a little bit is the some of the other, the more it took me a while to be able to be willing to do this, these more these harder forms of service. So I became the intergroup rep to my group, and then heard somebody on the in the intergroup talk about her going to the region meeting and how informative that was, and she told us all the things that she had discovered, and I thought, oh. And I had just finished reading not a vision for you. I had finished reading Roseanne's book, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, and I thought, oh, I would like to do that. So I talked to her after the meeting. She says, we have enough meetings. We could send two people to region. So I went with her to region. And in our region, and I don't know again whether this is an OA thing or just our region thing, but I became a green dot, which is the indicates the first time that I was a region, a region representative. So I did that for a while, and I actually got on the board of region and went to World Service for a number of times. Love that. I mean, I began because the reason I wanted to do that to start out with was that I was getting kind of stuck in my own inner group, and I wanted to go out to larger OA to find out more about what other people were doing in OA, what they were thinking, how they were getting abstinent. And going to intergroup and then region and then World Service helped me do that. And I'm here to tell you it's been a wild, wild ride. I am so grateful that for Zoom because I couldn't go to your meeting. I couldn't be the Thursday night intergroup rep for the Monterey meeting on Thursday. I couldn't do a lot of the things that I'm doing today, and I'm so grateful for Zoom. And I'm grateful. Thank you, Anne, for asking me to do this. It's always good service, and I always learn things about myself. Sometimes I pray to God at the beginning every time I do this to help me to say some things that might be helpful to others in the meeting. And so I hope that I've helped you, especially those of you who are new. I came in just like you. I was just like you. And I just took time and effort, and I got a sponsor, and I got abstinent, and I worked the steps, and I have a higher power. And all of those things have helped me in my recovery. And I'm going to stop there. Thank you.